Bless you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, Savior, we bless you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
I want to welcome you to Inside the Pages, presented by the Cornerstone of Grace, located at 524 East Pasadena Street in the city of Pomona, California. Sunday praise and worship begins at 9 a.m. However, prayer begins at 8:45. So I want to invite you to join in with us wherever you are. At 8:45, just begin to pray and to seek the Lord. Wednesday Bible study, 7 p.m. And, you know, as you know, and I want you to know, I want to really drive this point home that we believe the Bible is the Word of God. Therefore, we're faithful. We're bold. We believe the best way to face opposition is by obedience to the Word of God. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for your kindness and grace. We thank you, Lord, for your mercy and allowing us to gather together again to lift you up, to exalt you. Lord, that you be magnified, that you be glorified. Lord, thank you, Lord, for those that are present, those that are on their way. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the new edifice. We thank you, Lord, for the substance to make that you provide to make all things possible. Lord Jesus, I pray and ask that you would bless those that are tuning in near and far. I ask that you would bless, Lord God. Help us, Lord, to lift you up, to exalt you, Lord. Lord Jesus, let your word have preeminence in our lives, in the service. Lord God, we thank you. We give you glory and give you honor. If there is any sick among us, I pray and ask that you would bless them, Lord God, that you would heal them. Lord, and if they are on medication, I ask that you would bless the medication to provide for that physical body, Lord God, and to meet the needs thereof. Lord God, help us, Lord. Lord Jesus, as we go forward to bless your name, to be a witness, to exalt your word, Lord God. Lord, to minister as according to thy will. I ask these blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, I want to thank you for joining the online service. If you're looking for a church home, growth, and ministry, I want to invite you to join us, grow with us, and be blessed with us. I want to remind you that our Pentecost service is coming up, SoCal Pentecost 2024. And so for more information, please visit connectingtruth.org. You know, it's just around the corner. It's not that far away. And so time really has a way of escaping us when we're not monitoring. Things just keep moving forward. Time doesn't stop, and money does not sleep. And so that's something that all of us have to keep in mind. You know, when we're resting and we're tired or we've mismanaged our time, usually it's a mismanagement of time when we're feeling extremely tired. You know, we get off of work. Well, I'm tired, you know, and all of that kind of stuff. Did we go to bed on time? What did we do that would have made a difference in our day or hours? Maybe we're working hard instead of working smart. You know, there's a difference in working hard and working smarter. I remember that they used to say, well, you know, keep your nose to the grind, you know, and all that kind of stuff. You know, they had all these cliches. That's not for today. That is not for today. No, you need to expand your borders and get outside the box. You know, we have about 87 days left before the service and looking for a high time in the Lord. People are talking about it and looking forward to being there. You know, and we're looking for the Lord to be there and to join all of us. As the songwriter said, without him, I would be nothing. Without him, I would fail. Without him, I would be like a ship without a sail. We'd just be tossed and driven. And so certainly we thank and praise God for his kindness. You know, But we often read this, and I just want to reiterate this again. We believe the Bible is the Word of God, and I really hope and pray that you do too, that you believe the Word of God. not the opinions of other people, not what your friends think about what it really means, or, you know, or God didn't mean it to say that, you know, don't worry, there's no hell, there's no, well, if there's no hell, there's no heaven either, you know, and, you know, well, you really don't need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. You know, all of us have the Holy Ghost. All of us have the Spirit of God. No, that is not so. What does the Bible say? What does the Bible say? Therefore, we're faithful. What does that mean to you? When you say I'm faithful, what does that mean to you? Does it mean that you're following God's word? Line upon line, precept upon precept, understanding the spirit of the word compared to the letter of the law, because the letter killeth, but the spirit brings life. And that's what the scripture says. But what do you mean by being faithful? Are you bold? Meaning that you'll take a stand for holiness, you take a stand for what is right. Regardless, you know, what others are doing, you're not going to be persuaded by your peer, by peer pressure. You're not going to be persuaded even by the influence of your own flesh. And that's where most of our battles lie at, is with our own environment, our own selves. And it says that we believe. We believe. We believe the best way, the best way. There's no other way. There's no plan A, there's no plan B. The best way to face opposition is by obedience to the word of God. There is no other way except obedience to the word of God. No matter how you feel, the Bible tells us, ministers, just let me, and those that are not ministers, you know, well, I'm not a licensed minister. No, listen to what the word of God says. It says, be instant in season. So when things are going good, be instant. Be ready to live for the Lord. Said, be instant in season and out of season. Out of season. Things are going haywire. Things are going hay. It's not going your way. It's all out of sort. Nothing is acting right. Nothing is going like you planned it to go. Be instant in season. Be instant out of season. And so the best way to face opposition is by obedience to the word of God. At this time, we're going to have an opening scripture. And then we're going to go into a short exhortation, word of God. Double duty today. Double duty is like, it's like watching baseball. It's a double header, meaning that there's two services to speak at this morning. But certainly we're looking for God to bless us here today, and we're looking for him to bless us in the next service as well. Amen.
Psalms 24, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. For he has founded upon the seas and established it upon the floods. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. He shall receive the blessing of the Lord and the righteousness of God from God's salvation. This is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face, O Jacob, Selah. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye and even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Selah. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, with all thine heart, and lean not into your thine own understanding. In all ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading and the hearing of his word.
Amen. We have to and must trust in the Lord. I thank God for yesterday. Had a really good time and really a joyful time with the brethren yesterday. And thank God for the laughter. You know, laughter is like a medicine to the heart. The Bible is clear about that. And so we had a lot of laughs and just magnifying God and his goodness and his grace. You know, that scripture, Proverbs 5, it says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. You ought to post that someplace. You ought to put that up in bold letters on your cubicle at work, on your dashboard, now, wherever you want to put it at, as long as it's someplace where you'll see it sometime and be reminded of what we are to do to for God to navigate us through this life. Bless your Lord Jesus. At this time, I want to direct your attention to the book of Matthew's the fifth chapter, the sixth verse, and then we're going to look at 2 Samuel. Bless your Lord Jesus. And I solicit your prayers. It's been, I can't say it's been a long night, but certainly when God is talking to you, you don't go to sleep. You have to listen and make note of what God is saying. And my heart is filled. There's a lot that I'm thinking about right now, and certainly what needs to be done as far as what is going to be pleasing unto the Lord. In the book of Matthew's 5 and 6, it says, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are they, you and I, others, that do hunger and thirst for righteousness. Everybody's not hungry for righteousness. Everyone is not thirsty for righteousness. A matter of fact, their definition of righteousness may differ from what the word of God says. But righteousness means to be just. It means to be fair. It is something that operates without prejudice. It does not think of its own agenda, but it is balanced. We have to have balance in our lives, balance in relationship. A husband should have a balance with their wives, and wives should have a balance with their husbands. Righteousness, what is right, needs to be done. And if you hunger and thirst for righteousness, God said that you shall be filled. You're going to be filled. So if you're not truly hungry for it, if you are not truly thirsty for it, then you are not going to be filled. No. You're not going to be filled. You must be hungry. You must be thirsty for it in order to receive what God is willing to give to you. Let me say that again. If you're not hungry, if you're not thirsty, then you're falling short of a requirement. And when we're hungry and thirsty, we do stuff. We get up. And we do what needs to be done. We'll go and fix something to eat. We'll prepare and go the steps. We'll take the necessary steps for what is needed. The Bible tells us over in 2 Samuel, Second Samuel, the 23rd chapter, the 15th verse, it says, and David longed and said, oh, that one would give me drink of the water of the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate. So there was a well by the gate, well of Bethlehem. And the three mighty men, three mighty men, break through the host of the Philistines and drew water out of the well of Bethlehem that is by the gate, and took it and brought it to David. Nonetheless, he would not drink thereof. Everybody got it? Second Samuel? That's where I'm reading from. Your eyes should be there on your device, your phone. You have it? You have it? You have your phone? You should know how to turn there. You know, our children should not just be turning to video games. They can find all kind of stuff and stuff that they shouldn't be looking at. Well, this is a time to look at the Word of God. And you ought to find exactly, and you need some help finding it, ask someone. Gentlemen, help him find it. Second Samuel 23, beginning at the 15th verse. And I'm about to read the 17th verse. And he said, be it far from me, O Lord, that I should do this. Is not this the blood of the men that went in jeopardy of their lives? Therefore, he would not drink it. These things did these three men, these three mighty men. And when you have it, hold it. You have 2 Samuel 23, hold it. Don't turn from that page because you're going to have to refer back to it. Refills are not a strange thing. They're not a strange thing. They're not strange to anyone. Not any of us, not even an infant, don't understand what it means to be refilled. They may not verbalize it as a refill, but when you get that cry at 2 a.m. that they're asking to be refilled, when you get it at 5 o'clock, they're asking to be refilled. It simply means I want more. I need more. 1 Peter 2, the second verse says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. So there's nutrients in the sincere milk of the word, that you might grow. If you are not growing, you are missing nutrients. Something is wrong. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Last night I wanted a cup of milk before going to bed. Now I was still up even an hour or so after I drank the milk. But then I wanted even a larger cup of water to quench my thirst. I want you to understand something and about being thirsty is that when you are thirsty for water, that means your body is saying that you don't have enough. It's not that, oh, I'm thirsty and I need to drink water. No, it means that you don't have enough water already present. Same thing with certain elements. Our skin will dry and our lips become chapped, or maybe you go to the doctor and they go to draw blood. They will tell you, even in the drawing of blood, that you're not drinking enough water. Now, I've been told that. And so I had to change and make sure that I drink plenty of water. You need to drink plenty of water for your size. And so I have a 32-ounce drink of water, a 23-ounce drink of water here in front of me. And I know that's not enough for me to consume today and not have more water. And the same thing for you. I wanted some water and I had that. We all need a refill. We all need a refill. We need a refill. We need to be filled with something, a proper nutrient. And so we need that proper nutrient again. I question when that those that say I have the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God does not just show up one time. If your child cried when it was born and the doctor did what the doctor does to remove fluid from the throat and to make sure that he could cry out and stuff, if that child stops speaking, you're going to be taking it back to the doctor again, saying, "Doctor, they're not talking. What's wrong? What's going on mentally? What's going on with them?" And you're looking. You're examining. It's the same thing in the spirit. We need the proper nutrients so that we grow. We need to be refilled. Even the disciples, the Bible says, and I'm ahead of myself, but the Bible says that they were refilled. They were filled again with the Holy Ghost. We all need the refill to be filled with something, those proper nutrients again. You know, some more and some more of that, and some more of this, some more of something. Maybe your glass needs a little more icing. Maybe it needs a little more water. Or like me, I wanted some milk, then I wanted some more water. Being refilled is not something new. If you're driving an SUV, maybe you're driving an EUV. You might be driving a moped or a mini bike. Or maybe you're pushing a lawnmower and it's starting to sputter. It needs a refill. The sole purpose of is to have enough so you are not spiritually chapped. Well, actually, you don't need to be spiritually trapped or chapped naturally or spiritually. You don't need to be, you should not be dehydrated. This is what the altar is for. The altar is a place where we become rehydrated. We become rehydrated at the altar, seeking God, praying unto him, personal devotion, laying aside those things that will cause us to become dehydrated. We want to do the things that cause us to be hydrated in God. The ladies that we talked about a few weeks ago, it was five women. They were all virgins. They were all looking for the same thing. They were looking to meet a man. They were looking for the bridegroom. But they neglected to hydrate their lives. Their lives were dehydrated. It was depleted. So they did not have enough. And they wanted someone that was present to give them of their substance. I'm sorry, I don't have enough. And I'm not willing to give you enough to give you in the last moment. In the last moment. Here it is, the Lord is knocking at the door. The bridegroom has come. It's the last moment and you want to pray for deliverance. I know. Listen, after all this time, after all these years, after the repeated message to get into the ark of safety over and over, hundreds, millions of preachers have come and gone delivering the word of God to get right, be ready. This is what God is requiring of us. No one is excluded of us. And then in that last moment, you want to say, "Give me of your substance." That's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. It did not happen for the five, and it's not going to happen. You better read what the word of God is telling us. God gives us his word so that we have an example of what to do or what not to do. What to do? This is what Israel did. This is what got them in trouble. This is what they did, and they were blessed. They were blessed because they followed the instructions. Are you following the instructions that God gave? Or are you following the instructions of your friend? Well, you know, that's my best friend. And are you following the instructions of what God said? Well, you know, I like, are you following what God says that we should be doing? When the praise is not flowing out of your belly, I was talking with a young man yesterday, and I was saying in the praise service of God, we don't tell people, come on, y'all, come on, everybody, come on and praise him. We don't do that. We don't force a praise. We lead a praise. We don't make you. When the service comes down to you being made to have to get past where you are and where you need to be, that's a problem. That means that there dehydration exists. You need to be hydrated. You need to spend time with God. You need to spend time on the altar. You need to be refreshed. The songwriter said, with my hands lifted up and my mouth filled with praise, it don't start when we get to the service. It's something that we bring into the service. Another writer said, we bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. We bring it in. We don't come in and wait for it now. No, we don't. That's not the service. We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. Our hearts are filled with thanksgiving, and we're singing unto him those sacrifices of praise. And then God gets excited because where two or three are gathered in his name, he becomes part of the service. He said, I'm in the midst. I'm in the midst. So don't minimize, don't dismiss the few or the little, because God does it. When the praise is not flowing from out of your belly, the center of your soul, and those expectations of receiving a refreshing are not met. Expecting to be replenished of spiritual nutrients, you're left empty because it became a lip service instead of something that was generated from out of your belly. What did God say? He said, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water, not out of your throat. Your lip service, what we call lip, where you're going through the motion. You go through the motion of just saying amen. After a while, people, they're sitting in service and they know just where to say amen at. You know, the preacher says, makes a statement, everybody says amen. Oh, hallelujah. You know, we sort of shame on us because we train people. Can I get an amen here? And everybody, amen. You know, come on, lift your hand and say hallelujah. And you know, it's to keep you involved, but at the same time, you've learned something that should not be generated out of habit, but out of gratitude for the Lord. The praise should flow out of our belly. We should expect to receive a refreshing when we come into the house of God. That's why you ought to pray for the preachers, the ministers, whoever is going to be exhorting the word of God. Lord, when we say, Lord, use them, I'm not just saying that just to say it because I've learned to say that. I'm saying it because I need God to use that individual so that the nutrients that I need in my life are met. And the same for you. So we can expect to be replenished of those things and not left empty. Some are like the little image. come to service, they're like that little image. You ever see on the back of a car, the little image? And so it got the gas needle that's going down, and it got the stick figure pulling the gas needle, trying to keep it from hitting the E. You know? Well, for you, you may not have seen it, but others have. Or maybe you see it now that I've mentioned it. They're faking it. Someone said, fake it until you make it. No, you need to, no one needs to be faking it. We need to make it. Because you only could do that for so long. If you have ever run out of gas before, I was on my way to church, and I felt that I could make it 20 miles. That's what I was trying to do. I was going to make it 20 miles. I was going to get off at a particular exit, go to the gas station. Well, it was good that I left super early because I ran out of gas, and I coasted off the freeway, down the block, into across the street from the gas station. And so I had to call AAA to bring me a few gallons to get the truck started, just to go across the street and get some gas. Yes, I know someone shaking their head at me. Yeah. That was an embarrassment because people saw me. They may not knew who I was, but they knew that something was wrong, especially when I pulled up into the parking lot. And I couldn't even start the car to park it. I had to push it into place with the help of others. Everyone see when you stopped and understand something is wrong. Maybe you place your hand over your face. You did one of these numbers. That if I do this, they're not going to see me. I had someone do that the other day. Is that right? And so I act like I didn't see them. Because they didn't want me to see them. But it doesn't happen that way in reality. We're not hidden. We hope no one recognizes when we are depleted, when we run out. But that's not so. Churches are filled this morning with people that are going to be nodding their head. That's right, preacher. Voices with automatic amen and hallelujah. Songs of praise and rhythm that generate emotional response but lack a soulish response. It's easy to say, come on, y'all, get up and run a few keys on the organ, run the bass a little bit, boom, 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 you know, and everybody start, is this how they do it? Everybody start, arms start moving. Uh-huh. Yep, he's smiling. Arms start moving. Because learn behavior from the music. But what about the soul? What about the soul? Emotional response is dynamic. It is demonstrative. It is audible. But so is a car that's on empty. It can be watched. Car can look good. And you can turn the key and the engine will whine. Ying, 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 ying. But if there's no fuel there, it's not actually going to go. It's not actually going to start. It's not going to take you any place. I remember buying a Porsche. I bought a Porsche from some people that were fiending. They were fiending, yes. They were strung out. And this was many years ago, over 30 years ago, all right. Bought a Porsche from someone that was fiending. And so they were playing Rug Doctor. Some of you may have played Rug Doctor. Thank God for you that have not. But we know what Rug Doctor is, some of us. And so I towed the car home, 67 Oldsmobile, had enough strength and power to tow it from where it was back to home. OG ride. This Porsche was super clean. It was white with tan interior, black Targa top. It was clean. It was nice. Kept trying to start it up. The engine whined it. And it wouldn't start up. The people said it wouldn't start. I bought it anyway. And for only some hundreds, not thousands. And so the next day, I was looking at the car and was trying to figure out, okay, why, what is it that is not starting? I looked at the needle, and the needle was on E. Turned the key, the needle didn't move. With a big smile on my face, I ran to the gas station, bought a little gas can, brought it back, put that little gallon and a half in there, and it started right up. Drove it around for about a month or so, and as planned, sold it. Sold it to a gentleman who was racing it and tore it up. Gentlemen, and besides that, what did I really need with a Porsche anyway? I had two boys and two girls. I didn't need a pocket rocket. I didn't need a fun car or anything else to say, hey, look at me. I had four kids. That was enough to say, hey, look at me. As a young man with two boys and two girls, everybody look at you. You got a whole little band going with you. And so the zeal of the Lord once sparked from an attitude of gratitude. Stop. An attitude of gratitude. But that has been replaced. And all that remained is a burnt wick. A burnt wick, which once was. That's what a burnt wick shows. It shows that it once was. It once was. A lamp that required trimming. That's what it has become. A container with holes. Or one that needs to be made whole again. This is what God had to say about the container. And this is what he says about us. When we find ourselves in a condition where we need to be refilled. And it's not happening. John 7:38, it says, he that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. To understand what Jesus is referring to, Jeremiah, here's God's expectations. For my people have committed two evils. His expectation is not that we should commit evil, but this is what they've done. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living water. And they hewed them out censers. They made containers. But their containers are broken. They're not reliable. And they cannot hold water. How about you today? A gas can is only good if it can hold the substance that's in it. A thermos or water container or anything, a vessel, is only as good when it can hold the substance. I had a bowl that I was about to use, and I noticed that there was some liquid flowing from the bottom of it. Not a lot of it, but just drips of it. And when I poured the content into another bowl, I saw that that bowl had worn itself out. 2 Timothy 2, 19-21 says, nonetheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. The Lord know them that are his. And let everyone, every one of us, everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. There must be a willingness to depart from iniquity. Stop sinning. Don't transgress the word of God. You understand what transgression is? Transgression is when you know what to do is right and you don't do it. You know what's right, but then you don't do it. That's transgression. Sin is committed by sinners. When you sin and you continue to sin, well, guess what you are? You're not a saint, you're a sinner. Saints refuse. Those that refuse to depart from sin are then sinners. Okay? You may have started out, okay, I believe the word of God. I'm doing what the word of God says, and then backslide, leave, and run on to do what you want to do, how you fail to do it, whatever reasons that you came up with for doing it, whether you blamed it on someone else or you just, I just want to do that. I was talking to someone that had messed up their lives. My prayer and hope is that their lives are back, but they messed their lives up, messed up the family and everything. And they said it was just something I wanted to do. It was just something they wanted to do. I'm like, man, gentlemen, ladies, anyone. Sin, the Bible said bread eaten in secret is sweet. When you sneak to do something, you sneak to, you're told not to open up that soda and you sneak in there anyway. You don't get caught. It's pretty sweet at that moment. It's good. It tastes good. You sneaking into cookies. You're told not to go in the cookie jar, but yet you got your hands in it. They're not going to, mom not going to count the cookies and see how many was in there or anything like that. I could sneak. But after a while, the level, because you did it once and then you do it again. And after a while, the level of the cookies begin to go down. And so it's obvious that you're doing, that something is going on there. When you get caught, it's no longer sweet. It's no longer fun because you got caught. And so then you develop the crocodile tears. That's what they used to call it. The crocodile tears. I'm going to cry instantly. You can cry instantly. You can cry instantly. Push out those tears and cry. And so that's a trait among many children and adults. It's a trait. I can push out knowing they got caught. Don't want to face that reality. Not crying because of repentance, but crying because they're caught and they don't know what's going to happen next. Seeing we are also, Hebrews 12:1, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witness. Let us, who? You, me, all of us. Us, all of us. All of us. All of us. Lay aside every weight. Every weight. Are you carrying any weights this morning? Are you holding on to something that you should not be holding on to? I like weights, but I like them at the gym. I like weights, and I like what those weights do. But this weight is talking about stuff that's slowing you down. This weight is like wearing, you got a 45-pound plate on a rope that's tied to your waist, and you're dragging it through a field. That's pretty rough because it's going to get caught on rocks and other stuff. You know, and each step you take, there's another weight that's being added. Lay aside every weight. Stuff that you don't think, well, if I could just do it. It's not impacting me. You know, don't nobody know about it. That's what you really said. Don't nobody know about it. And so it's not impacting. Listen, lay aside every weight. Some of the friendships that we have is a weight. You don't know it's a weight. But it's a weight. It prohibits you. It stops you. It slows you down because you're leaning on their opinion rather than what God has to say. It's a weight. And the sin. It tells us to lay aside every weight and sin, which doeth so easily. Weights and sin easily impacts our life. It's the little things that seem like it's nothing. And the Bible said, don't for us to be careful about nothing. We have to be cautious about nothing. Those little things we need to be careful about. It may not seem like, oh, the pig is walking around. If you're a farmer, the pig is walking around the fence and he's bouncing into it every now and then. And he'll go a few feet and he'll bounce into it again. And you're like, oh, wow, look, he's playing a little game. No, he's looking for a way out. He's looking for a hole. He's looking for a soft spot. Well, the enemy plays games with your mind to look for a soft spot of entrance. Lay aside every weight and sin that easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. This is not a sprint. It's a marathon. Run it with patience. If it is going to slow you down, you have to let it go. If it is a sin, you have to stop sinning. Those things prohibit our forward progress. The kingdom of God is a progressive walk. So here he goes on to say, but in a great house. In a great house, not the house that you're thinking about. He's using this as an illustration. In a great house, you go into a house. Now that house could be 500 square feet. It could be 5,000 square feet. Whatever. It's a great house. But in a great house, there are many. There are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and of earth. Some of honor and some of dishonor. So I want you to know and understand this. This is not a secret. You will find vessels of gold. You will find vessels of silver. You'll find vessels of wood, and you'll find ceramic vessels. Some that have been crafted very nicely, and others that will not be used when you have special guests. Now, if you like me, your dishes came from Walmart, or maybe they came from Costco. I don't know. But you count them as very nice. And so then you have the plastics that you have that you're able to throw away if they get cracked or something like that. And most of the time, it becomes your favorite dish. I believe many of us have our little favorite bowl that we like to eat out of, our little favorite cup that we like to drink out of, you know. And so it says that if a man therefore purge himself, if you purge yourself, listen to what I'm saying. If you, your responsibility, Christ's work is finished. It's done. He finished it on the cross. There's something that each of us have to do. If a man therefore purge himself, we have to separate ourselves. The Bible tells us to come out and be separated. Come out from among them and be separated. Scripture tells us that. That's something that we do. We make a conscious decision what to do, or we make a conscious decision to ignore it and do what we want to do. I hope that you make a decision this morning to do what God is calling. He said he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and meet for the master's use, prepared unto every good work. The writer of the text goes on to say that this is what we must do. If you purge, that means to remove, eradicate, get rid of sin, get yourself out the way. This includes self-righteousness. Now, self-righteousness is usually prefixed with, if I was someone else, I wouldn't have apologized or else, there's a but with it. In other words, they are now incriminating themselves with an excuse. Don't do that. If you're going to be sorry for sin, be sorry for it. Leave it alone. If you're going to apologize to someone, apologize. Don't add nothing else to it. Be real. Let it go so that everybody can let it go. Then you'll be a vessel of honor, separated to be used by God. So when you say, I need a refill, it's valid. You're not filled with other stuff. There's no room. You've poured yourself completely out. I made it known, and I'm going to keep making it known to my family and my friends, that I'm pouring myself out. I'm surrendering all. You got to surrender all to the Lord. So when you say, I need a refill, because sometimes you feel depleted. You've poured yourself out, you feel depleted. And so you need a refill. And so now there's a valid reason to fill you up. I went to the doctor, I was having a physical, and the doctor told me to relieve my bladder. You need to go in the bathroom and relieve your bladder. So I went and I came out and lay back on the table, and the doctor said, I see more. And so I had to go back in the bathroom, came back, and she said, there's a little more. Now here's, I'm pushing and squeezing and doing everything I can to push out the, the, everything that's in my bladder. And I left and came back, jumped on the table, and she said, nope, go back out, go empty it, to go back again. But this time, when I came back, I was completely clear, and she continued on with the examination. Why ask for refill and you're not emptied out? You're not pouring it out. You're still trying to retain. To be refilled, you must be completely emptied out. That's what God is calling for. Not a little, not half, but all the way. In the 1950s through the 80s, they had, and they still have this on sale. I had to look it up. But they said a little dab would do you. It was called Brill Creek. And so they had a commercial that a little dab would do you, you know, that you put on your hair. You know, for those of you that have on, got your wave cap, you got, you know, you wearing the look. And, but there was Braille cream. And so Braille cream was used for your hair. And they said a little dab would do you. And that really wasn't made for our crappy nappies that we have. But listen here. Listen. A little dab would do you. Someone needs that little dab that you're holding on to that you're not willing to let go of. Someone needs that. This morning, God is asking, not just asking, but requiring that you squeeze the tube and give that little dab that's in you away. Maybe it's a song. Maybe it's a testimony. Maybe it's a word of encouragement. When was the last time you gave someone a word of encouragement? You gave them a word of encouragement. Still someone coming to give you something. When was the last time you poured yourself out? Well, I'm not comfortable doing it. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. We are comfortable doing what we want to do. We're comfortable with it. And sometimes God wants, and there are times that you may not be completely comfortable, but you don't have to be to do God's will. We stand up all the time to minister to God's word, and sometimes we're just as nervous when we're standing in front of you, and others will attest to the same thing. We're not always comfortable. And we're not always comfortable with the subject matter that may have to be ministered on that day. The disciples had been out, and they were told, and they were about to go out again. They had been re-encouraged, recharged, rejuvenated. But they needed more. The Bible said, then said Jesus unto them again, peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, so even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them. He breathed on them. Receive unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. The context of our text centers on the request from David. You still have it? 2 Samuel 23. You still got it? 2 Samuel 23. 15, huh? All right. See me afterwards in my office. No, I'm just kidding. Listen. 2 Samuel 23. And David longed and said, oh, that one would give me drink of the water of the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate. David was desiring one thing. He was thirsty, depleted, restless. Wanted a drink of water from not just any drink of water, not Arrowhead, not your favorite, whatever you might be thinking of. You know, I got a bottle of Arrowhead here, but whatever you might be thinking of as far as water. But he wanted it from the well of Bethlehem. Bethlehem means the house of bread. So he said, go down to the well by the gate. It's a well by the gate. You guys know where it is. You know exactly where it is. He didn't ask for them to go into the center of the city, but just the outskirts. Can you just go to the outskirts? That in itself was dangerous enough, just to go to the outskirts of it. And the three mighty men break through the host of the Philistines and drew water out of the well of Bethlehem that was by the gate. And they took it and brought it to David. All he requested. What requests have been made of you today that you're still lingering around and haven't moved to do anything. When David said, I'm thirsty, those men jumped up and they went into action. Where's your action at today? Are you jumping up, going into action? Have you picked up the phone, made what phone calls you need to make? Have you reached out to people you need to reach out to? Have you did anything? Where's the report at of what you've done? What does the pastor ask you to do? That there's always an excuse of why it's not done. How many days have gone by? How many weeks? How many months are going by that it is just not done? It's not being even being worked on aggressively. These men were very aggressive. The three mighty men break through. There's aggression. Break through the host. It didn't matter how many of the Philistines were standing there by that well. They bogarted their way into it and got the water. And then they took it back to David. Didn't spill it. Which means they carefully took it back to him. They didn't drop it along the way. They didn't have to go back for another scoop. They went and accomplished the mission. Broke through the Philistines. Drew the water out of the well of Bethlehem. And there was witnesses to what they did because there was three of them that went. They were trying to be the first that was by the gate and took it and brought it to David. David didn't drink it. He poured it out. The man did not say, well, I'm not going down there. I'm not. Listen, wait a minute. We've been fighting all day. We've been fighting last week. We fought last. They didn't say none of that. They didn't say, I don't want to get on my horse. My buttocks is hurting and I need some ointment. I need this. They jumped on their saddles or maybe they rode it bareback, but they took off and went down. Because they saw an opportunity. They saw an opportunity. Do you see an opportunity this morning? The Bible tells us in Ecclesiastes, the third chapter, and also John, the first chapter, and others speak about the same thing, that we ought to seize the moment. We ought to seize the opportunity and not let it slide by, because it happens for all of us. My prayer is that God would help us see and recognize opportunity and seize the moment. Not everyone, sometimes it's only a few, that hear the internal message of God's act and his desire. The Bible said many are called. There's a massive message that's going out, but only a select few that will actually respond. There are the ones that will pour it out. They're going to pour out everything that's within them to get it done. They're the ones who's going to be refilled. The Bible says, in the 17th verse, I'm closing with this, says he said, be it far from me, O Lord, that I should do this. Is not this the blood of the men that put their lives in jeopardy? You're not putting your lives in jeopardy to do what was being asked in the church, being asked of your pastor, being asked of the administrator. Your life is not in jeopardy to do that. These men put their lives in jeopardy. And David said, well, I respect and honor what they did. I'm not going to drink it. Those things, those three mighty men did. They wanted to quench the thirst of their leader. What is your leader hungry and thirsty for today? What does your leader ask you to do to quench a thirst in that particular area? Are you willing to do it? If the leader is satisfied, guess what? The people will be satisfied as well. It's not one-sided. It should never be one-sided. He's a God of balance. I want to leave you with this. Moses, the Lord told Moses to speak to the rock. We're talking about being refilled. The Lord told Moses to speak to the rock. And when he speak to the rock, water would come out. The water was to refresh the people because the people were depleted from the travel and from where they had come from. They were dehydrated. They were thirsty. Don't you know your leader has the ability to speak into your life? so that things are manifested. The Bible gives us this authority and power. He said, I believe this because it's in the word of God. It said, whatever you bound on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you release on earth will be released in heaven. The leader has the ability to release water. The people will be refilled. The weariness will go away. The thirst will be quenched, and they will be rehydrated. God bless you. Now may the grace of God and the sweet communion of the Holy Ghost rest, rule, and abide henceforth, now, and forever. In Jesus' mighty name. If you need to be refilled, talk to God. But before you go to Him, pour yourself out. Pour everything out that you've been holding on to. Whatever work that you need to do, make sure you do it before you go to Him. Make sure you have something to show. Make sure you have something to talk about. Make sure, and He will refill.